I would like to welcome everyone, or we would like to welcome everyone to another edition of the Tax Town Hall. Got the hosts up there that are joining. We're all here tonight. Attorney Larry Beecraft. For his website, you can go to startpage.com, type in either Beecraft Briefs or Dixieland Law Journal, and you will find his website. Tons of information. We've shared fair amount of it in past shows, but there's plenty more that we haven't even showed you. Sean O'Connor, he's at seanoconnor.org. S-H-A-W-N is the way Sean spells his first name, and O'Connor, typical spelling, O-C-O-N-N-O-R.org. Gary Thomason is reachable right at his email address, Gary, G-A-R-Y, at N-P-N, nancypaulnancy.net. And I'm at agentfortruth.com. We like to start the show with praying to our Father in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to have kind of a free-for-all. We're going to maybe talk about a current event, that namely being some of the Democrats have voiced some of their tax plans. And so basically, if you thought you were living in a nightmare already, wait till some of these Democrats might have in store for you and for us if they get into the office of president and what they'd be willing to sign. So I don't know, Larry, did you you read any articles or had any initial comments on this, like a wealth tax where taxing people's incomes, actually taxing people that don't have income is bad enough, but and taxing income is bad, but they want to actually tax existing wealth, even if there's not even a taxable event, correct?
I can address that, Joe.
Well, please do.
You know, at the time of the Revolutionary War, all governmental powers was vested in the state governments. We had the United States of America, but it was mainly just a creation of the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation government had no new powers of tax, no powers of taxation. It lived off of requisitions, payments made by the states. In Philadelphia in 1787, the question came up whether or not the federal government was going to get, for the first time, a power of taxation. But in the debates, it was crystal clear that the states who derived most of their income from direct property taxes, did not want Uncle Sam invading the resources of the states. So it was envisioned, and this is the way the Constitution sets up the taxing powers of the federal government, that the federal government would exist primarily off of indirect taxes, which have historically been excises, duties, and imposts. However, there was this one fear that they had. Well, gee, maybe in a great emergency, there might be some need on the part of the federal government to impose a direct tax. So the Constitution allows a direct tax to be imposed at the federal level, but it's required to be apportioned. Now, what does apportionment mean? There's no need for us to get into a long, lengthy discussion of apportionment, but basically, here's the way you can understand that concept. Let's suppose that California has 10% of the population in the country. That's determined by the census. Consequently, it will have 10% of the representatives in Congress. So when Congress wants to impose a direct tax, California would be paying 10% of that direct tax. Now, direct taxes are real hard to impose. You know, the issue really came to the forefront in this country. Not that there weren't before this time, parties would make a challenge whenever Congress would come out with some new tax. They would come along and say, oh, it's unconstitutional, it's a direct tax. You know, a number of times Congress would oppose taxes and parties would make the argument it's a direct tax. And the Supreme Court would have to address it. And the Supreme Court would say, well, as to this particular tax, it's an excise tax. Well, then in 1894, Congress comes along and imposes the income tax. So in this case called Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company, in that case, you know, the Supreme Court held that the 1894 income tax was a direct property tax and was consequently unconstitutional. Now, when you sit down and you read that decision, when you sit down and you read books like Phil Hart's Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any?, you will understand that if Congress comes along and imposes a tax on some piece of property, that is the imposition of a direct tax. And a direct tax is going to be very difficult to impose. So these Democrats, when they come along and speak to the uninformed, the uneducated, when they sit there and say, oh, well, we want to go after the rich people. We want to tax their wealth. A real problem that they've got is this constitutional impediment that stands in their way. To impose a direct tax on wealth would be, it would require a direct property tax. And chances are the Democrats that are making an argument for this tax are simply not telling their followers anything more than, you know, they're making a political promise. But the people that are listening to that political promise do not realize that, you know, it has just a popular appeal. It's not carefully thought out. And I think that it would be incredibly difficult to impose a direct tax on wealth at the federal level. It would be a direct property tax and it would be required to be apportioned. And we've only had a few direct property taxes in the history of this country. They're difficult to administer. And I doubt that the Congress is going to come along and pass a wealth tax.
But playing devil's advocate, Larry, we talked quite extensively about how much the IRS oversteps its boundaries currently and has for decades, at least since World War II, if not longer. So what do you think, what's to prevent them from just doing it again? Do you think now in the internet age, we'd be
well, able- I can anticipate your question, Joe, and I can respond in this fashion. I can see how they can come out with a legitimate wealth tax. This is what they've done with the income tax. If you impose a tax upon the wealth held in this country by non-citizens living in other countries, that would be a perfect excise tax. Now, I can see that, you know, if we do get around to this, that's what Congress is going to pass. But Congress will make it appear to be a tax on the wealth of all Americans here inside the United States. But really, when you boil down and take a look at the, you know, that particular act, it'll be a tax only on non-resident aliens, Gary, and foreign corporations. And that would be to tax their wealth in this country would be an excise tax because it would be a privilege for them to own property in this country.
That's a good point.
Kind of like the income tax too.
So basically, if they passed such a wealth tax, and of course it would have the same function of only having within its scope foreigners like the current income tax.
Right.
But it'd be a nice little comparison to see how in 2021, when Bernie Sanders wants to sign the bill. And we can compare how it's limited to foreigners, just like the income tax.
Yeah. So but I really don't see that. You know, I think they're right. What's going on right now in the Democratic Party ranks, they're just trying to appeal to their base. You know, oh, we're just trying to get something accomplished. We're wanting to redistribute the wealth. To me, I don't think that there's a real chance that can come through. Would you agree, Mr. Thomason?
I would agree fully, Mr. Beecraft.
And wouldn't you agree that if they were going to try to impose that, they would pull a trick like the income tax, and they would make a tax, make it appear like it applies to everybody, but in reality, It would be an excise tax, and it would be imposed on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. Would you disagree or agree with that?
Well, I would have to agree with you completely because that's what the law says. Right down to the regulations, Larry.
Right, right. You got that right.
It's not really that complex. It's just that when they had written the Internal Revenue Code and the regulations, it was, goes back to that old saying, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, but you better listen very carefully.
Yeah, Peter just asked this question. They'd make it appear to apply to everybody. Yeah, that's what I said earlier. And that's what I think we've stated a number of times during the course of these Zoom meetings that we're having on Wednesday night. Yes, Congress comes along and, you know, makes something very narrow in the way it's drafted. It's going to be perfectly constitutional, but they're always going to make it appear to be bigger than it really is.
Except that this time, if it were to come about, you know, like I say, we're in the 21st century. We have 21st century tools to keep an eye on them and to point out things. So can you imagine? I think it's going to be like the IRS when they try to fix their computer system. They'd sure like to fix it, but it means having to let people in on the little secret about how they manipulate their computer system, and they don't want to do that, so they just keep on limping along with the same crummy system. So I think the same thing's going to happen here when they send their all their tax researchers and bureaucrats to put pen to paper and create such a law. They're going to say, Houston, we have a problem.
Joe, do you think that individual master file, as well as like the non-master file, is where they do all their magic for like the substitute for returns when a third party does the reporting for the citizen? Or would that be like a conspiracy theory?
Aren't most conspiracy theories factual, Gary?
Well, the ones that I
that
believe
one
are.
Is.
They get the theories that are called conspiracy theories are called that for many, many years until everyone ends up, you know, finding out about it and believing it. And then the people that accuse them of being conspiracy theorists don't talk much anymore. But yeah, the IRS's database, the individual master file, is full of fraud in the way that they manipulate it to get their desired result. As Gary mentioned, substitute for returns. The IRS lies to their computer system to claim that there was a return filed or a request for the IRS to calculate a tax.
Right.
Proceed from there.
Exactly. And
that happens here in America?
Yeah.
Wow. And
political prisoners in America too. Anyway, let me just point out to the listeners that if you want to be unmuted, like I said, this is a bit of a free-for-all tonight. So if anybody wants to be unmuted and speak to all of us, please just chat saying so, and we'll get you on. But Sean, did you have any comments about the wealth tax? And
Well, yeah, a couple. So I'm going to play devil's advocate too. I agree with Larry and Gary 100%, and a lot of people that have studied the issue also agree. And you've got a whole bunch of Democrats and about 260 million people out there that figure they're all required to file and pay an income tax. So the matter isn't whether or not we're going to pay it. The matter is how much. And that's what the Democrats are proposing nowadays. They're going back and forth about socialism, how we're going to pay for it. And they finally come up with at least being honest to a degree. Is that, well, we're just going to keep applying the income tax the way we're applying it. It doesn't matter if it applies correctly. We're just going to keep doing it. And, you know, we're only going to hit the really high wealthy people, say above 20 million or 30 million. Now, again, I'm just telling you what the Democrats plan. You can read it anywhere and on about any website. And they're going to do this through the guise of the income tax, one that doesn't apply to any of us, but that everybody seems more than willing to pay because of the false consequences that the government tells us applies if we don't pay a tax, we don't vote. Now, again, playing the devil's advocate, saying this is what we are dealing with today, I get a kick out of the Democrats. They want their wealth tax capped somewhere around, what, $20 million? or $40 million. It's capped at a place where most Democrats don't make more than $40 million, so they won't hit by it. I get a kick out of these guys the way they manipulate this. And that is, of course, to promote their socialist agenda, which they tell us is socialism, which in fact it is. But that's a different story. Nevertheless, here's the deal. If these boys get in, they don't have to invent a new tax. They think they already have one. They call it the income tax. They don't say it just applies to what the law says it applies to. They say it applies to anyone we damn well say it applies to. So the question I have for the audience is, if that's the way it is, because it is the way it is, too many people out there are buying into this, we owe the income tax because they say we do. The question is, how do we stop the madness? How do we get the people to sit down here and recognize that it is madness, that they can kick this income tax in all they want to, they can put the rates in however high they want. We really don't care. Why would we? It doesn't apply to us to begin with. So now again, playing the devil's advocate, how do we let the people, how do we get the people to understand out there that, hey, just wait 1 minute. I don't care what you do. I don't care your socialistic programs. I don't care about how you kick the income tax in. I don't care what your rates are, because the bottom line is it doesn't apply to me. It's not a tax I owe. I can prove it out, and that's the end of the story. So go ahead, do what you want to do, because it's never going to touch me. The fact of the matter is that we have too many millions, hundreds of millions of people in this country that they really believe that's God's honest truth, that the income tax does apply to everyone in this country, every citizen, no matter what the facts are, no matter what the law is. And that if Congress says, oh, by the way, the income tax rate just increased 90% to pay for everything we're going to give you, whether you want it or not, the answer to stop it is what?
Well, maybe a descendant of Frank Bruschaber is around in the 21st century, right? Take it to court, and there will be our proof.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I think that we have to, as we're doing now and continue to do, is explain to the people and get the people to sit here and take notice, because what they have planned, I'm telling you what, they plan on bringing it into fruition, and they don't care how they're going to do it. Now, those are our government agents. But, you know, in this country, I've heard this crazy little thing said, we the people are the government. I think it's time we the people stand up to these government representatives, I guess they're representatives, and tell them this isn't happening, not in this country, not anymore, and make a stand and say, okay, you know what, here are the laws. Here's what they say. We don't have a problem with them. What we do have is an application problem, how you are applying this. And again, this brings us back to the question. These people out here that are so scared of socialism and the taxes that are going to result in what the Democrats are proposing actually have nothing to fear, because as Larry and Gary have told us over and over again, hey, they don't apply to us. The law is clear, which, by the way, I happen to agree with 100%. So what are we going to do with these Democrats, guys?
They're going to, I think they're going to do away with themselves. We got an email earlier from this gentleman, S. Angle. And I really enjoyed reading his thoughts. And he's posted a question. The government IRS employees are intentionally entering false fraudulent information on citizens.
Well, he's being facetious, Gary. You know, he knows that that's a truth that nobody questions, you know.
Exactly. And you know, if I was going to joke back with him, I'd say that we brought it on ourselves through massive international bankers, as well as the massive amount of ignorance that goes on in this country. We believe our politicians religiously. And hey, you know, the Irish be the first to say, hey, you know, you're the one that did it, not me.
Well, Gary, there's been a big brainwashing program in effect in this country.
That's true too, Larry.
You know, when it comes down to the income tax, you know, you can go back if you're interested in it. If you go to the National Archives up in Washington D.C., if you go into some of these government depositories and dig into the foundation. Hey, if you just read Phil Hart's book, you know, when the income tax was being proposed, there was a lot of brainwashing going on. And, you know, after that brainwashing went on and they finally got the 16th Amendment, they got the tax in place, you know, then the Treasury Department hires these law professors to publish these books, and they publish them. And so there's this propaganda effort to, you know, educate people about this new tax. And so there's plenty of effort going into the proposition of, you know, using the media to broadcast a message. And of course that is done, you know, every April the 15th, as we approach April the 15th, there's an organized media effort to brainwash the people. Oh, you got to file these returns. And most people are just going, they're wrapped up in their own lives. They don't understand that there may be some real question about the breadth and scope of this tax. So they're brainwashed, and until they're exposed to some information like we can offer that lets them understand, hey, there are some real legitimate questions about the reach, breadth, and scope of the income tax. Until they get to that point, you know, they're going to continue going down the government trained path. It's our responsibility to try to expose to as many people as possible. That, to me, that's the first part of the quote revolt, is to show people that, you know, we're not a bunch of crackpots and kooks out here that say that there's real questions about the income tax.
And if I could add to that, Larry, there's a gentleman that participated with us last week. His name's Mark Lucas. Mark and I have been talking for several months. He's proposed that we organize pretty much like a Save a Patriot Foundation, but not necessarily the same. But he suggested that we float this by all the participants here and see if they would be willing to delve into it and find out what we can do and how we can do it. And we can probably clarify a few things, but one thing for sure, one thing that's missing in this country today is due process of law, especially in the tax court and by and large in most criminal cases, but that could be partly, you know, responsibility of the defendant. But we're talking about having a thing called due process advocates. There's already a website. Just do a Google search for due process advocates, and you have a little bit of background on what the goal is. But we're talking about, and Larry, being that you're one of the top lawyers in the entire country, what do you think if a group had a legitimate beef with the IRS, presented a legitimate argument on letterhead signed by a lawyer, what kind of defense would that be in the event that somebody was to ever get prosecuted?
Are you talking about reliance defense?
Yes.
Well, you know, the reliance defense has taken a real beating over the years.
It has.
And, you know, I can remember Lamar Hardy out in Hawaii.
Oh yeah.
So that was one of the programs he had. You know, he had Guy Curtis and others, you know, for $50, you know, they'd write a letter, and, you know, then the client would receive a letter from attorney talking about, you know, something about taxes. Well, you know, to me, that's really not getting down to the heart of the matter.
Well, you know, I'm not talking about a Lamar Hardy or the Research Foundation type letters. I'm talking about a legitimate, you know, a legitimate issue letter.
Well, we have legitimate issues. The question becomes, in my view, to me, this, you know, there's a number of things that have to be done for this battle over the correct application of the income tax and how it has to be fought. There's got to be popular support, number one. And, you know, let's take a look at the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement, but they got organized. They had a message, and they exercised political, you know, they engaged in political activities. They gave in media activities, and they engaged in legal activities. And to me, that's the recipe for a successful movement. You got to have those activities going on. It's got to be, you you know, people going out there and carrying the message to make a popular appeal for the issue.
Okay. So
there's going to be a need to push certain issues through in court. And too many people are just not cognizant of or even understanding that, you know, there's a multi-pronged approach. There's a need for a multi-pronged approach for a successful movement to achieve its goals. Look at the civil rights movement. You know, they achieved their goals, and there was a number of fronts that were, you know, they had a political front, they had a media front, they had a legislative front. They were doing all those things. And we're really in the movement, in the tax movement, the only thing that's been done is, you know, you have a bunch of organizations that go out and say, you know, try to educate people about it. But then most people just say, wow, I've already learned something. And the next steps of moving forward, like political activity, writing letters to Congress, that really hadn't happened. You know, going about in an organized fashion to do something in the legal arena, that hadn't happened. The only thing that happens is you know, the government is the aggressor. They're going on the offense, and people in the movement are on the defense all the time.
All the time. But
there are things that can be done on as an offensive. From the, you know, there's a need for education. There's a need for political activity. There's a need for media campaigns. And there's a need for being aggressive and on the offensive with legal issues.
Well, there's no question, Larry, that Mark is in attendance and he's listening to what you're saying. And there's no doubt in my mind that there are some legitimate issues in the income tax area, especially with the current state of affairs with, like we were talking about earlier, you know, the IRS has a natural, you know, hey, you're presumed to owe this tax and we're going to come after you. And how are you going to handle it is really going to be the determining factor as to whether you are able to prevail or not. There has been some success on this front. People shouldn't be downtrodden. What people should do, especially the people that so graciously joined us this evening, is to commit to getting involved. Commit. If we propose to say, hey, we want to start a civil rights movement in the area of tax honesty, would you participate and would you invite your friends to join? You know, this is kind of, you know, one of the things I think that this the tax town hall meetings are going to grow out of it is ideas, thoughts, and ways to counteract this bourgeoisie. We're proletariats and we're dealing with the bourgeois. You know, currently we got to step up to the plate.